Gives you
Are
bookmarks.
you calling the meeting to order now? I do. I just called the meeting. Okay, I can do that.
I will just tell everyone we have a new camera here that is called the Owl. If you look at the eyes on the owl, you'll actually look like you're talking to the camera.
Talking to the camera?
Yes.
Talking to the TV? That's
Yes.
cool.
Yeah.
That's cool.
That's a new thing.
And it has better audio. We can hear Terry this time.
Oh, do we think
Yeah, it's
Terry's coming?
working. Can we see?
Oh, where's Claire? I can't see
Right
it.
there, who's the owl?
All right.
Gosh. Hi, Terry. So, okay. So I call this meeting to order, and thanks to Shelby for stepping up to read the land acknowledge.
Okay. We acknowledge and honor the Aboriginal people on whose ancestral homelands we live, the Irkutsum Band of the Shasta Nation, including the past Indigenous inhabitants, as well as the diverse Native communities who make their home here today. We also recognize and acknowledge the Shasta village of Kwakhakha, where the Crow lights that is now the Ashland City Plaza.
Well done. Excellent. You have a job.
That
Okay. Oh, I don't think I called the meeting to order, but we sort of did with the land acknowledgement.
Shelby called it to order.
Yeah.
Meeting now.
Anyway, did you have a chance to look at the agenda? Is there any questions about the agenda or additions to make?
I might have an addition because I have a question regarding how to go about some piece of historic research that I'd like to pick
Oh,
everyone's brain
sure.
about. But so maybe that's just
Is
a
that okay with the rest of the group?
just
Can we do that
we
just,
can do that at the end or whenever it's
just after the subcommittee reports before review work? Okay, sounds good.
thank
Thank
you.
you. Okay, otherwise, by consensus, we'll just approve of the agenda if there's no objections. And we have no public forum. Good thing this, or do we? You're not here for any public forum. Are you here for the land?
I'm here for your tech support.
Oh, you
He
are. You're the
installed
owl guy.
He's making sure that all works.
You're a
Thank
mystery
you.
guy. I always wondered where the tech guys were.
Yep.
Thank you for being here. What is your name?
Thanks, Jason.
Jason, thank you. Have other advisory committees used it?
You're the first.
Oh,
You are.
we are the experiment. It
It's
is.
been installed for about 30 minutes.
Oh,
There's no glitches.
it is
Well, not yet.
pretty awesome to look at those flies.
Would never be glitches when you have a department head installed.
Does it have eyes on
The
the other
second
side?
he leaves is the second
Yeah.
that ends.
It has eyes on the other side too, does it?
The camera's on the top, actually.
Yeah, it's a fisheye on top.
Camera.
Gotcha.
And the software will zoom in on the speaker dynamically.
Oh my goodness. That's pretty high end. I'm impressed. Okay, so liaison, very glad to see you, Jeff.
Yes, I'm sorry I missed you guys
Oh, we
last.
gotta approve the minutes. Did
No.
we
Oh,
already do
yes,
that? I did. I got ahead
she
of
did.
myself. Sorry. I looked at the minutes considering we had a lot of conversations last time. I thought they looked good. Anybody have any corrections? No? Any motion to approve?
I move to approve the minutes.
Thank you. Second?
Second.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. Now we can hear from Jeff.
No, just happy to be here. Thank you so much. I didn't meet you
Okay.
guys last month.
Yeah.
I was out down the city,
But it's
so
nice, or I think you would have had to be on Zoom last
I
time.
think so. Yeah.
And this is always nice.
Yeah. Yep. So nothing out of well, it's never a dull moment in council chambers, but we're kind of just moving right along. Do you guys have any questions or anything that's on your guys' mind I could speak to at all? Where are you starting?
I have a question for you that came
Shoot.
up when I was talking with other advisory committee chairs. They have started a coordinating group of
Correct. Yeah.
chairs, and it's
It's like
kind of
a CEO
ridiculous.
group that you guys get together in
Is that,
secret.
oh,
Yeah.
but the acronym is huge. It's crazy. So it wasn't clear to me, does every advisory committee have a budget, or do they mostly not have budgets? Like, We don't have a budget. Public arts can sometimes get money, but we don't.
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, it's not like, oh, but do you want one? I mean,
We don't have money to work with the kinds of projects, including tech, that we would like to get.
That's something I can bring to the city. We can talk to staff about, and because there's certain. It's not that you have a budget per se. It would be kind of a request through finance, right, to be able to have an expenditure through a certain fund that would otherwise apply, something along those
lines. That's kind of what.
Yeah, the commissions generally do have a budget of, I want to say, about $700 per biennium.
Oh.
So it's enough if we have Historic Preservation Week and we want to buy a case of water, things like that.
You know, we used to. The city used to buy us dinner or lunch or something.
Oh, that was cut. I mean, like,
yeah. But you know, just Dale will remember. Oh, you know, yeah, we old timers. I remember going to Thai Pepper for dinner in the city picking up. Remember that?
You remember? I remember you were there, right?
And the whole city council.
We're drinking too much wine.
Well, here's Thai Pepper. I'm sure the whole city. I will talk to Marianne and just kind of see where that lands.
Well, at that meeting.
I wasn't talking about that. I was talking about the $700 for water.
Yeah. At that meeting, the COCO, it's very kind, I think, that the mayor usually tries to come. And I did ask her about grants.
Yeah.
And what I learned from that is that the grants are that consulting group that was hired to find and occasionally write grants is dedicated for public works because it's related to the infrastructure bill.
Yeah, public works.
So there's nothing out there either for us on that.
Yeah.
So moving right along.
I'll just add some history because I remember also, it seemed like we had more of a $2,500 budget. And we used to send two or three members to Portland to go to the state historic conference.
I'll take that and I'll follow up with the city and find out where we are. I'll talk to Sabrina and Marianne and see what we can do. Maybe it comes out of Comdevin planning or it could come somewhere. But let me see what the
part of a bigger issue that we're going to be discussing. Going
okay, forward. Yeah, for sure.
Let's Thank
find
you.
Out. You bet.
Absolutely. I appreciate that.
Absolutely. Thanks for bringing it up.
So there's nothing else you think is relevant for us to know from what you've been working on other projects, of course.
Not that I can think of, but it's all kind of like, you can imagine a thought bubble with a bunch of scribbles. If I think of something, I'll bring it up.
And then
any update, excuse me.
Yeah.
Any update on Pioneer Squad,
in the
Pioneer Hall, the community center. You know, those are historic buildings.
Yes.
So there's something that this commission is very interested in.
I can give an update because I just talked to Scott Cleary.
Yeah, I'm pulling up an email from Scott. Go ahead and see if we'll see if it matches. We'll see if he keeps the story straight.
Well, you better talk first.
No, go right ahead.
First was all off the record.
You always say that.
Just give me about 60 seconds and I'll pull the email because I because this is public record, so I certainly can share it. Here it is. This was from, I sent this to him last Thursday night in response, and I just said on a related note, if every timeline magically works out, what's your ballpark time frame for the completion of both buildings, community center and Pioneer Hall? He said, Jeff, we are planning on having final documents for construction ready in the next couple of weeks. I hope to bid out the project later this month, open bids late April, and award the contract in May at council. This puts construction starting in June and will last approximately 3 to 4 months. Hopefully the buildings will be back and fully open in fall this year.
That's great.
So that's
right. Much better than I expected.
So you're right. There was something I probably should have brought.
Great.
Yeah, Scott is really, I mean, the number of balls that guy juggles.
Yes, it
and,
is.
And he just amazing. Does it so professionally, just like these guys do. But yeah, so he this is something that's, you know, long overdue. He knows it, but he's on it. So we're pleased with it. Yeah.
There's going to be a lot of people.
Yeah, that won't that be fun?
Yeah. That's, thank you for asking that.
Derek, those buildings on the National Register?
Separately?
I do not believe they're individually listed, but they may be listed as part of the Lithia Park listing.
Because that's something we should look into, because they should be.
Yeah.
Don't you agree, Dale?
Yeah. So we can find that out.
Yeah.
Or Derek can.
Yeah. My inclination is that they're listed. The park is an individual listing of its own. And like the fountain is listed as a component of the park and has a big write-up in the park's listing. So I'm guessing that's the case, but I can find out.
Good.
Well, I'm glad. Do you have a question?
I do. Derek, if somebody wanted to rent that for a function, what's the process typically here? What had it been?
It would be through parks.
Just parks Commission.
Yeah, you reach out to parks.
Do you know what it runs a night, day?
I do not.
Not either.
Yeah, I'm not sure you could. Parks, the front office in Park could tell you if they ever get back to doing that.
We should have a party when it's
yes,
like a historic commission party.
Yes.
And so we move the owl to.
I agree.
And just to back up, actually, because I have my, and it's hard for me to do it on the iPad with the scrolling, but I do that Oregon historic site where you can click on and get the. All the stuff, and it does. And I have it right.
It says
59 Winburn Women's Civics Improvement Clubhouse, eligible significant 1922. Date listed on the National Registry was June 16th of 89.
So it's separate.
Oh, good.
So, to the extent that I could zoom in on it, and
we're impressed.
There's the forum on the typewriter when it was done. So
can you find Pioneer Hall too?
Yeah, I get it to work. I got lucky enough to click that. I need a normal computer, but I'll get this and I'll send it to you. I mean, it's all publicly.
That's great. Right.
But yeah, this is.
Thank you. We need you here.
Yeah, it makes a difference.
Show him up support as well. So
we appreciate
it. Yeah, okay, cool.
Thank you very
for
much
sure
for that. And it is start an encouraging way to start our meeting.
Yeah.
And Derek, do you want to?
Couple things. First of all, earlier today, the Court of Appeals upheld 87 of the 89 climate friendly rules.
Oh.
So Home Builders Association, the realtors, and 10 or 12 cities had appealed the climate-friendly rules that we've talked about before.
Yes.
And that ruling came down today that essentially the state was within its authority to adopt those rules, except for one of them, one of the 89, and one of them they made a noticing error. So they invalidated both of those rules, and they both related to transportation, not to any of the parking or anything like that.
Parking.
Okay. And I have a question about, so there were 10 cities, and what was the criteria?
There were six or, I mean, there's a 35-page appeals court ruling today, and I haven't read all of it.
Will you send that to me, please?
Sure.
Thank you.
They had six, cities had six assignments of error, I think, and the other organizations had five or six. So, I mean, they called them out specifically in terms of ORS that they violated or things like that. So the one noticing error was basically that the state changed the scope of, there was a rule requiring that transportation projects that have already been approved and are on city plans had to be re-reviewed in light of the new rules. And that was not part of the original noticing. So the court said they couldn't go back and essentially retroactively say a project you've already approved has to be reassessed. And then the rule about the transportation system plan was for cities that didn't comply with the rules, the state wanted the ability to essentially cancel the acknowledgement of their transportation system plans. And the court said there's no authority in statute for the Department of Land Conservation to do that.
And what cities are under this new rule then?
The cities that were appealing it were...
No, I mean, just in terms of how many cities around the state.
I want to say
be under this
56 are under those rules. It's all the Metropolitan Planning Association. So like in Southern Oregon, you've got Medford, Phoenix, Talent, Ashland, mm-hmm. Central Point, Eagle Point, and maybe Jacksonville are under the new rules. And then Grants Pass, all the cities in Josephine County.
Yeah.
So each of the kind of population centers going up by five have, you know, 8 or 10 cities. And I think it's a total of 8 metropolitan areas.
So how did you get that done? You told me you would be in meetings all day. You're a super.
I was in meetings with DLCD when that came through.
Oh, was it? Oh, that's handy.
Yeah.
Were they relieved? I imagine.
They were. They at the time that they announced it, they hadn't had time to read it. So
yeah.
I but read you it said before they, by the shower.
They upheld 87?
87 of the 89 rules. Yeah.
And here's the. I think the pressure is still on for getting those rules.
I mean, we still have to this year adopt all of the climate friendly areas in the city and all of the codes and maps that relate to that by the end of December. And so we're under contract with, I think, 3 or 4 consultants to get that all done this year.
Mm.
So that will be coming to advisory committees and planning commission and council probably late summer, early fall.
Oh, will it? Yeah. But the rules are all being enforced, man?
No, the rules, there's 89 of the rules, and each group of them has a different deadline going all the way out to, I think, 2029. So,
and to be clear, it's the rulemaking they're finishing.
So they did a rulemaking that finished in 2021.
Okay.
And that laid out 89 rules that cities and counties have to comply with. So one of those was getting rid of parking requirements, which we did.
Right.
One of them was a study dealing with climate-friendly areas, and we completed that. And now the next step is identifying actual climate-friendly areas now that we've studied the issue and adopting new rules for those. And I'm sitting on a state task force to help develop those rules and also a state task force to help develop a policy guide for parking. So now that we've gotten rid of parking requirements, we need to have a policy guide.
Yeah, just a blank piece of paper. It's crazy.
It's going to be very detailed.
So you've already identified climate-friendly areas in town?
So, yeah, we did a study that identified 4.
Yep.
So it's the Croman, the Transit Triangle area along Ashland Street, the railroad property. And then the downtown, we sort of designated as a secondary area. The idea being it's got very limited redevelopment potential, and we don't want to encourage people to demolish historic buildings in order to build taller. But by identifying it, we get some benefit of prioritizing transportation projects related to downtown. So we're going to try to treat it as a secondary area where it may not have the increased height allowances, but it will still be considered in the planning.
Well, that's a lot.
Yeah. And then,
What was the pushback from, speaking of real estate, what was the real estate industry pushback?
You know, I'm not entirely sure about some of the pushback on, you know, we're going to let you not have to provide parking. We're going to let you have more height, and we're going to get rid of all density limitations.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure exactly what the pushback was.
Anything on solar or no? Solar setback?
No. Nothing on solar setback that I'm aware of. I mean, we'll have to deal with that through, but I think it already doesn't apply in C1D, and there's some other limitations on it. But yeah, that's not something that they got in, because I don't know that all the cities in Oregon have it.
No, I'm just thinking out loud, like if somebody had now the ability to put in an ADU kind of regardless. But it's cast in shadow. How's that going to?
So there's a committee meeting in the Lithia room right now. One of the things they're talking about is changing solar. So instead of not shattering more than a 6-foot fence, would be looking at, for subdivisions, at least creating new lots, not shadowing the rooftops of adjacent buildings within the subdivision. So it would get rid of a good portion of the solar. It would adopt what we have in the cottage housing rules now. So it would let up quite a bit of the solar. For new development.
Or density.
Yeah, and density-wise, I think we're, at least in the climate-friendly areas, there will be no density limitations. You'll have height and FAR, but you won't have to worry about number of units.
The height one sure worries me.
Yeah.
For the district. But, oh well.
So the other two things, and I sent the email, I thought we'd talk about the color request from ODOT.
Yeah.
About the crosswalks. We can talk about that when we get to the Rock Garden Subcommittee.
Yes. Okay.
And then the Playwright Walk. There's a project moving forward with the Chamber of Commerce, SOU, the city, historic, public arts, talking about doing a playwright walk, sort of similar to the Monuments Project for MAP.
To the medallions.
Medallions.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's a handout that was passed out that Beverly has.
We can make copies.
Yeah, I can make copies and get to anybody, even or I can send them the whole handout. But essentially, in Iowa City, Iowa, they have this playwrights walk where they have, I think, 1,000. Or a...
That's where I moved from. I'm so glad.
And do you remember it?
Oh, yeah. It started like in the 80s, I think. And yeah, they have, I haven't been there.
So yeah, they have a variety of.
But it's a UNESCO project.
Yeah, too. Medallion type installations that have quotes from
all
famous.
The writers. Because it's associated with the writer's workshop there, which is very
yeah, nice. And it's a UNESCO World Heritage UNESCO. Site?
Yes, it is.
So the idea is working with OSF, the Chamber, SOU, they'd like to do this and create a playwrights walk around the downtown that would have a variety of these with local and national and international playwrights and quotes.
Yeah. So could you go back to the players that was further up, I think, like... There, right. So this is an amazing project because it has money going with it, and they don't have to, you know, we always are scrambling for support for things, but this is the project that Thaldens came forward and got excited because their granddaughter, I think, lives in Iowa City, and I mean graduated from University of Iowa, and so they got very intrigued by the project, and they are the ones that are supporting it, and I think the councilman Kaplan is working with them.
I think so, yeah,
getting it, and Jennifer is helping out, but then eventually it'll be self-sustaining, right, once they get it.
So we'll bring more information back. Public Art's going to discuss it this month. And then they said they would bring us more detailed information for our April meeting. So
who's running it? Like, who's taking the lead?
I think Ken England right now with Public Arts is probably the most
Bob Kaplan
leading
is
role, but
the
Bob Kaplan and Barry Thaldin are both kind of key in it.
Okay.
But I think the idea as we're envisioning it, this is ultimately it would be kind of city sign off on the project. Right. But then the actual design of individual medallion selection creation would go through this process where they just get a concrete permit for downtown and install it.
Right.
So it's because not it's envisioned to be so kind of hands-on for the city.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Which is kind of nice. It can happen faster.
Yeah, it's kind of fun when things just go, huh?
Yes. Yeah.
So that's the kind of initial vision, and I just wanted to give you a heads up, and then we'll be talking about it in detail next month.
Yeah. It's kind of exciting.
Yeah.
Who knew how many medallions we'll have in the sign-ups? Anything else, Derek?
I think that's all I've got.
Okay. So now we get to the substance of today's meeting, which is having to do with the our annual preservation awards. And as Derek mentioned, he sent you all the more information with pictures, which I thought was very helpful. And I'm wondering, before we get into the nitty-gritty of the properties, could we discuss the other issues which have to do with our decision whether to, in fact, collaborate with the Public Arts Commission, Public Arts Advisory Committee. You may remember last meeting we discussed that they had an interest and they had already talked to the Chamber of Commerce about a ribbon cutting ceremony for the medallions. And as you see, there's not a lot of properties on our list to look at that are completed. And that was something Derek had mentioned to me, that if we were going to be a time where we would join together with honoring the recently installed medallions, it's a good time. It won't add a lot of time. And I'll just go through these others. So that's that's a question whether you want to proceed ahead, because the Arts Committee will meet on the 21st of March and want to know that we're on board for this or not. I talked to Peter Finkel, who's going to also focus on the medallions for his tour. You may remember last year he did a tour after our award ceremony. So he told me that he's focused. It would be a great, again, amount of visibility for the map marking as the places, because he said he'd start at Golden Connections, review all of what that is about and the history it's honoring, and then go to the individual medallions. The other interesting connection that he has for the second walking tour, like when you guys did this last year, you had a second walking tour a couple days later.
Yeah.
Right? So he has an idea, which I think is very intriguing. There's a woman named Chelsea Rose. That's a great name, isn't it? So, but what's amazing is she knows everything about the Chinese workers that put in the railroad. And she is from SOU. Now, I wrote this down. She's a professor with the Laboratory of Anthropology. And she has actually done digs where they have found remnants of the workers' belongings. And so he's wanting to hold that as a possibility. He needs to get her a date. But I think the first thing we have to decide is if we want to do this collaboratively. It's on a weekend. We can't ask Regan to be there. We'll miss that. But I think with Public Arts and their crew and us, I think it won't be, I wouldn't think it'd be really a problem. And then the suggested date that Derek has made arrangements for the Railroad Park gazebo from on the 18th. Is that a good date for everybody? Let's start there.
What day is it?
It's a Saturday now.
And what?
10 to 2?
10 to 2.
And what date?
Oh, 18th of May. Saturday, May 18th. Here, it's right in the, if you want to, you don't know?
I don't know at this point.
Okay, well.
And the reason we didn't do the following weekend is because it's Memorial Day.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we can't do it on Memorial Day. We'd be there.
Yeah.
But the best part is, and I hope this helps you out a little bit, Regan, is that he is willing to handle all the publicity for this.
Oh.
So when you, I was like, we're in. If you're okay, if you
want to. I make a motion to collaborate with the arts.
Yeah, get to it.
So I'm not real clear. Is that when we present the award?
Yes. So it was a proposal that came from Peter and Ken last meeting. And it's the idea is to combine the celebration of the medallions, since they didn't get installed till recently. And as the motion says, that we collaborate, coordinate with the Public Arts Commission and Peter Finkel of Walking Tours to have one combined event. And that would involve a ribbon cutting with the Chamber of Commerce. So again, we have a lot of help from them. Then I think Derek and I were talking, maybe they could worry about the public PA system, and we don't know. But if we can have a motion that we're on board with that idea.
And who's coordinating Chelsea Rose? Because she was there.
Oh, you've heard her?
Yeah, she was integral during the dedication.
Oh, was she?
Yeah.
Then, oh, because she's gone to China.
Yeah, they've met all the people who, I'm forgetting what.
It was a village that she.
Yeah, I think she was at the ceremony.
That came here to build the railroad.
Yeah.
And she found the building.
They had a photo of them all. It was amazing. So the story, that story would be incredible.
Well, I'm assuming she probably helped get the, because we had a musician that came from that village.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And a couple people from the village at the ceremony.
That was a moving thing.
Yeah, and then Irene Kai, who's like a poet laureate for the state of Oregon, came and she was, I think, from that village as well, and did not intend to speak and went up and spoke eloquently about it and what it meant to her coming from that village and having this connection back to her home.
Oh, it even had a connection.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
I might have that on video even.
So. Oh, that'd be cool. Well, I'm excited. We have a motion.
I think it's good synergy. And I think collaboration is good. And I think we would have more exposure for this commission.
Absolutely.
And I don't see any.
Is there a second? Thank you.
Second.
Okay. So we've got that decision made and we'll proceed.
Who is doing the
Ken.
Okay.
Who is? No, not Ken.
Oh, not Ken.
Philip. I mean, Peter Finkel.
Oh, Peter is. Okay.
Because he volunteered and I go, oh, perfect. Because he knows he wants to get it in the city newsletter for me. I say go for it. So let's include in the motion that it would be on Saturday, May 18th. And at this time, it's not specified. It's 10 till 2. And we're going to try to get on the mayor's calendar if possible.
And why is it that long? Is it going to take that
long? Oh, no, it won't take. That's the time of the reservation.
Yeah.
He set aside the reservation, which was great.
So it'll be in the band, though.
No, it's going to be in the railroad.
Oh.
At the depot, at the gazebo.
Whether you're paying or not, but
okay.
He said I could just pay.
So I think it's synergy is exactly the right word. Thank you. So now I forgot we have to take a vote. All those in favor of the motion, say aye. Yes. And now we can look at the actual properties that we want possibly to award.
So Regan had prepared this list, which is in your package.
Right.
The arrows I put in there are the projects that are final, which we've normally limited review to projects that are complete at the time of the ceremony. So I just gone through and looked at each one of those, provided photos where I can. So starting with 101 A Street, which is Blue Marble Toys. What you all looked at was a rooftop addition that we went into a lot of detail to figure out the specifics of it. When they got around to building it, money was an issue, labor costs, availability of materials, everything. So they phased it. They did not do any of the exterior other than a couple windows and some rooftop solar. But the actual changes that you all had reviewed really didn't happen. And the building still looks 99%
interior.
The interior, they did a mezzanine and remodeled interior space, but the exterior work really hasn't happened. So I don't know from a commission perspective if there's really anything to award there.
So they did do the mezzanine level, but didn't have any of the windows.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
too bad.
I think that's eligible for an award.
Yeah, and I think, the intention was that they could come back later and complete it, but I don't know with the economy, and I think the building owner.
Well, then we could give them an award after
when they do.
Completed.
Yep.
So that's still possible.
If we like it.
Yeah. If it's a lot.
Okay.
So 75 Hellman Street is one that got looked at by the review board. So it was just an addition remodel. Property owner's name is Kelly Engledew. This is the addition. There was previously a single story portion back here, which was removed. Review board looked at this as just a building permit on a single family. Review board signed off on it. I think generally the recommendations for review board were making sure it had compatible windows and continuing the foundation, which they haven't done.
Continuing the foundation.
I mean, I think there's a block foundation here.
Yeah.
And they didn't sort of do any kind of treatment like that on this new piece. I think the review board said the siding that was shown looked good in the submittals, and they felt the roof was a good match for the main building. But it's just a question of whether you all think it's award worthy.
It's absolutely not.
Don't. Really?
No, it's, I don't know who designed that.
The property owner.
The property owner, we could have suggested somebody that would have done a better job.
I mean, I'll just say, looking at it, the roof amplifies the height of the building. They could have put a hip roof on it. They could have...
To make it less obvious?
I don't know if it has a belly band or something, but it could have...
It has a very... non-distinct belly band
with no color to it.
Yeah,
and they could have attached a porch or a roof or something to amplify the door.
Well, the house has a hip roof. They should have duplicated that on the
and they should have tied it into the building more. And so there's a number of things that
I'm hearing.
I second the no.
It's a good thing we're doing a ribbon cutting. Yeah.
That's what I was going to say. We're going to have very few that make the cut.
So this is 131 Hellman that Peter Sipes did.
You already decided on that one?
Seems pretty good to me.
Yeah.
This one
has compared to the others, that looks great.
I think it has a lot more.
Oh, well, let me say something.
Will you please?
You don't like the color.
The original porch has tapered columns. They wanted the porch, that window that's to the left of the lower drawing. The middle one is the remodel, right? That's the proposed.
This is the rendering. This is the original, and this is what's on the ground now.
Right. So the only thing they really did is move the window that's far left. It used to be halfway onto the porch. And that was more of an interior move. And other than that, they've only moved a window and they took away the more historic columns.
They dummied down the porch.
Right? And they did this addition. And I think when they tore off siding in the back, they found some things and had to basically rebuild the house.
Yeah.
Was there a reason they took off the part, the took off that? Oh,
I don't. There was a reason. I don't remember what it was, but I think we talked about it at length here at the meeting.
Did you? Was it probably crumbling and not maintained?
So to the positive side, they really didn't change the building that much. The addition is kind of insignificant and thus it doesn't deserve a word, only that it matches. But if we need to find something for another award, I suppose, but there's just... Not much. I guess compatibility is something, taking away their sacred cone.
Was that discussed in the review board?
So Dale, counterpoint. So if they mimicked and rebuilt new columns, I'd be like, hey, that's kind of a big win.
Because they could have done something way out of character.
No. Like I'm saying, if they really stepped in and they had matched and mimicked what was originally there, I'd be like,
You pointed out the columns.
I'd be like, great job. But to your point, I don't think they did that much.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't try to. Well, there's always that problem in our design standards when it says you're not supposed to mimic the.
And they didn't even put up that secondary railing that was in the rendering too.
And you always the first choice in any remodeling or is to always bring back what was original. I may be wrong. Are those columns tapered? I thought they were, but maybe I'm remembering wrong.
At the top.
Yeah.
Or you see, maybe they're just passed. Definitely more girth.
Yeah, they're tapered.
And wasn't that discussed in review board too? I wonder.
I did not. It was a full commission meeting. It came.
Oh,
to.
Was it?
Yeah.
I must have been wrong. So, would that have been an expensive thing? Is that why
usually it's all expended?
Oh, it's all expended.
I mean, in their favor, they didn't change it drastically. They remodeled it and brought it back to life. So,
but they didn't destroy the character of the structure.
Yeah.
It's still, they kind of respected what was there to begin with. And, you know, I'm not fighting to, you know, get in an award, but I think with as little as we have to award this year.
I'm hearing that you want to do the write-up.
Oh, can we table this one and keep going through and then maybe come back?
Yeah, that's a good.
Could have been worse.
Yeah. Oh. So, what did you say? It could be worse.
Could have been worse.
So 37 North Main is one that came through Historic Commission, and the proposal was to split this entry into two and make it two separate interior spaces. The project that actually came through was just an interior tenant improvement to make it a wedding shop. So I don't think there's anything with this one that I'm assuming you care to award.
Yeah.
How that wedding shop
can
survive in that expensive piece of real
estate. It's just bizarre. Okay.
So 192 North Mountain, the Beach Creek subdivision, had this, what was described as a historic farmhouse. I don't have all the details on it, but that was on the property when they subdivided. Mark Knox was on the development team, so he chose to keep it on the property, and they sold it to a buyer who remodeled it. I'm not sure that the remodel to me seems pretty modern.
I don't think KDA did it.
No, it was Steve Asher that did the remodel.
Yeah.
And it's gorgeous inside.
I haven't seen the inside. I think that one is worthy of an award. They saved a historic structure that KDA would have just bulldozed it, you know, with the rest of his development there. And I think that one should get an award.
It looks like they had a garage, and did they also had a
I believe
to the left.
Yeah, but it looks pretty good. I drive by that a lot.
And it
and
definitely
had it
is
vacant.
It like, was boarded up.
Look, that's what I was going to say. It's boarded up.
Yeah.
Well, that's because the property was sold, and I think they boarded it up just to. While they were developing,
it was a little derelict.
Was it?
Yeah, there were some homeless people living in the shed back here, and there had been a couple of fires. And
did we get a comment from our landscape architect about the front porch and this, the little landing and the gravel?
You put me on the spot.
Well, it looks like that's still winter and it hasn't been landscaped.
Yeah, it's missing some plants. That doesn't look super historic, that little pathway there, nor does the front porch.
Yeah.
I'm more sad about the paint color.
Yeah. The black and white.
Yeah, the black and white. Yeah. Making it look like it's some Magnolia Homes or something.
Yeah.
Would you, now that when you say the porch, you're not as impressed with? Would you think?
Well, I wonder if that railing.
That iron railing is.
The railing's not original.
No, I don't think so.
That's out. 66.
It's never there. Is there never a railing there historically? Or this.
Because I like the openness.
It's less than 30 inches, you don't need a rail. And probably they never had one. And that those were out in the 50s, 60s, 70s.
Okay. Yeah.
But, you know, I was just thinking traditionally the entrance. That's not a very traditional entrance in terms of landscape and concrete path that you normally have.
And my sense is they had to stop on the landscaping because it went over budget, and the landscaping may be to follow.
Mm-hmm.
It's. I live right here. Check it.
But I agree with Sam. I'm glad they saved that building.
You know, it's got the cupola.
Yeah,
I don't think it's a superb job, but
I was happy. I've been driving by, and I was happy to see that they saved a couple of those houses there, and it looks nice.
So we should we move on to see the rest, and go back to these two? Okay.
Okay. The next one is 309 North Pioneer, which Dale can probably talk about at length since he did it. It's just the installation of this bottle drop trailer, which. With thoughtful planning, it's almost invisible when you look at it from the street. So
the idea was that they have a go-away.
That was the plan, huh?
Yeah, so this is before, this is with the bottle drop trailer in place, and this is looking at that wall with the trailer in place.
I can ask the goofy question, where are you supposed to park? I use it all the time, and there's like no parking around there.
I mean, I think the thought was you'd be parking at the co-op anyway to shop, and you were just dropping off your bottles. So wherever you park for the co-op.
But it's not as convenient, is it? No.
That's problem with downtown and not needing any parking.
Yeah. Yeah, and with the state rules now, there'll be less.
Well, does it, and the, we talked about, there's a couple more that aren't, projects that aren't seen from street view. Does that make a difference for people?
I'm going to guess.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. I think it's great that it kind of blends in. If we, if they got an extra step and match the roof of the existing building and put it on top of the container, I might be a little bit more excited. But the end view still does look like a container. It is a container,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah.
Well, that's the system. So you're stuck. We're stuck with that.
We still could put a roof on it.
From the state. What's that?
We still could put a roof on it.
I mean,
and you're trying to dress up something that's just utilitarian.
And isn't the container provided by the state? Yeah, and their standard is green and orange. It's green and orange with all their signage on it. So this was, I think, a battle to get rid of their
signage. We battled to get all the signage darker and lucky. It certainly doesn't deserve a award. It solved their problem. And to be honest with you, it was solving the problem of homeless people hanging out there all the time.
Really?
And they had to, their bottle drop was on the slide on the door that faces the parking lot. And they are open till 8 o'clock, and when it's dark at 5 o'clock, and they have to ring a bell, and somebody has to come and count bottles in the dark at night. This was solving the problem.
Oh, well, that's
great. I do use it weekly.
Yeah, you can still recycle bottles at 24 count at the co-op itself, but anything over that. But you know, there would be people out there with shopping carts and. And they got some of the employees got assaulted. And,
oh, geez.
One does have restricted hours, though, I believe.
It's 24 hours.
Oh,
isn't
it?
No, I think it has hours listed on it. I don't remember.
I think it showed up and it didn't work at a certain time.
Oh, man.
And has it mitigated the problem with people?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Well, good community support there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the next one.
So 368 Scenic is just. At the rear.
That's across the street from me. In fact, I sold them the house.
Okay.
I know the owners real well.
Okay.
Though they only spend about, I'd say, 3 to 5 weeks a year here. They live in Vermont. Their son and daughter-in-law live next to me across the street from this house. And then they split the blanket. And I sold them a house up the street for $1.3 million. And so I know these people. I love these people. It's not an award.
Yeah, what I was going to say is it's not really visible from the street.
No.
This is the only plan that we got for it. There's no elevation drawings. I mean, you could go up and climb, step up and look through their hedge, and you could probably see it.
I have been in the sunroom. I've been on the deck. They're just lovely people. They don't deserve an award for that. No, I mean, if they were sitting here, I would say the same.
Yeah, that's.
And then last is 912, 914 Siskiyou, which is right across from the high school. So historic home. They did this addition at the rear, so it's really back here. Again, this is from the street. The addition, the garage and accessory unit back here, and then remodeling the house. So super visible from the street, but I mean,
But it's well done.
They tied it in. It's well done.
And it's Asher Homes, so.
Yeah, I know. And my office had it listed when they bought it. I met the people, and they must have bottomless pockets.
Everybody in Ashland.
You know, well, they spent, but they did it right. I think it's overbuilt. in my opinion, is too much.
Bulk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the bulk and scale is the same size as the house.
But yeah, it could have been worse. It could have looked like the units that they built directly behind it across from the parking lot. So I think they, in keeping, did a good job.
They did.
Give them the thumbs up.
And they came to us.
And
they listened to our advice.
Oh, good.
They were going to change the rails on the up above the entry porch, and we talked about that.
Yeah, they came and talked to us, and you know, I think they.
And
know,
so it was purchased, and then they went right to remodeling, basically.
And these people, I understand, this is like the third or fourth house they've done in different communities, and they've used some of the same people.
Interesting.
For the other houses, and that one I think should get a
couple. Now, we haven't heard from Terry. Are you there, Terry?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm not sleeping.
Oh, no, I didn't think you were.
Yeah, looking at this one, this is a Frank Clark house. He was the original.
It was Frank Clark built it for his own family.
It
was his own home. And then, you know, right after the turn of the century, everything moved to Medford.
Oh.
You know, you'll find very few houses were built in like in the teens and 20s in Ashland.
They were going to the big city?
They went to the big city. And so Frank Clark built himself a home. I've owned three Frank Clark homes in Medford. And Frank Clark built his own home on East Main and moved out of this house. But he built this for his own family.
Yeah, so that's
so it's a very, very special property.
Right. Four bedrooms upstairs.
So I think they did. Yeah.
Minuscule.
Wait, Terry, you're going to make a motion on the
wait, Terry's still talking.
Oh, they did it right on the house. They didn't. They were going to change the front porch, and I think it's the same, isn't it? I don't know.
Yeah, it looks the same.
Yeah, and the side, I can't really see the detail on the side, but they kept it original as much as they could. I think it's, that part is pretty good. Plus, you never see the house if that hedge is there.
Yeah,
it blocks it. But I think that's a nice, that's worthy, I think.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Oh, that's
and it's really good to have the reminder of its history, its importance.
Right. Yeah.
And is there, so are you really ready to make a motion?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we have one more category, though.
If you have any idea of individual awards.
Yeah.
Well, I think there's another house. I think that 263 North 2nd.
It's still not final.
I said the same thing last year.
I know. And I keep putting it up.
Well, did we even put it on the list?
And is it occupied?
Oh, yeah.
So we actually tried to put it on the list last year, and the owner said no because they weren't finished.
Okay.
Which one is it?
263
North
2nd. Yeah, North 2nd.
It's been going on since like 2017.
Oh, you know, and the guy I think's doing all the work himself, but he's done you know, for what was there, he's respected it and really done a good job with it. But
he doesn't want to get assessed, so he doesn't ever want to get a full time.
So, you know, I'm embarrassed to be part of an awards when we give one an award. I'm wondering.
That's why I think you
but
want
it's
to give
in conjunction with the ribbon cutting.
Yeah.
So
I'm wondering if we should hold off until next year or something. Mm-hmm.
Because there's still an individual, and we haven't talked about that.
Yeah. There's we have possible.
So what about the one he's talking about? Do we know what that looks like other than?
I did not bring pictures, no. Right. I mean, we looked at it last year, and we were ready to give it an award, and the property owner said, no, I'm not done.
So he wants to wait.
And it's still not filed.
And is the reason because he doesn't want an award or because he doesn't want an assessment?
Yeah, I mean, you remember talking about
if it's done from the outside, that can qualify in my mind. We've done that before mm-hmm. the things have been funded.
Is the outside done?
Trust me, you'd approve of it.
So the exterior looks good.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was practically a derelict house. And I mean,
but before and after.
But there's a house that probably originally was identical to it next door. Modest little cottages. Yeah. But he put windows in that, you know.
Well, Sam, reach out to this guy and see, because maybe it's a personal thing. Maybe it's his pet project and he's not comfortable because it's not done and he's still working on it and he wants perfection.
Yeah.
If he's knowing that everybody's going to now pay attention to it.
Do you know him?
No. I just drive by it when I go to Abson Hardware, which is frequent.
Who did you talk to the owner, Derek? Or
I talked to the owner, but it was like last year, and I don't remember him saying the exterior wasn't done.
Okay, I know. It took me a while.
It's white.
Yeah,
and yeah, it's nice.
I couldn't have painted it white.
Do you think, would we want to ask Regan to make another call?
I mean, the protocol is we have to wait till the project's final. But I'm happy to call him and find out how close he is to.
Because I'm confident that the commission would agree, you know, that a really good job's been done there.
Okay. So you just reach out and say, hey, you were a topic of discussion at our meeting, and we would like to consider giving you.
Because there's a lot of
interested.
But I think it would be good if somebody, you know, Reagan.
Are we violating our custom by having it? Get an award before it's a finished project?
I would like to make a motion to alter the protocol for being.
Really? Maybe we should too. Isn't that? Will this?
I don't know. It's just protocol that was given to me when I started.
Over the years, I know. Over the years, we've approved ones that weren't quite
finished.
Desperate.
Okay.
So, I've never met him. I've never known, but I just really respect what he's done. If we can get him agree, I'll do the write up.
That kind of goes against the other motion that I wanted to do and assist you.
It looks like Jason.
My motion was I wanted to sign an award to 9/12/9/14 system. And have Sam do the write-up since he's lived in three of these houses.
Oh, that's true.
Well, I'm not going to do two. Yeah, I would do it.
Do this one?
Because
you know a lot about Frank Barton's house. So I could also call him and do this story. Do you want me to?
Let me just see.
You see.
Just get a feel for it.
That's a good idea.
And then we'll go from there.
Because we still have a window. This isn't happening until May.
Correct.
So let's recheck. Yep. See what we get.
Okay. I can do it this week.
Okay. And then I'll follow up. So now we go back. Were you going to make the motion, though?
We have to decide on them first.
Well, so
that one's in. What's the next one, Ben?
Are we all in agreement that one's in?
Yeah.
Yes. And then we go back to 131 Hellman. And 192 North Mountain.
Okay, way back to
there.
Maine.
Wait, you want this? You want the wedding shop?
No, okay. I think that was
North Mountain. Sorry.
Okay.
Yeah,
no, that's a.
Anybody want to write about that one?
Well, let's find out where it got first.
Okay, so
that's two or three.
And the other one is 139. Yes, that one. So that would make three. We have. Possibly four.
So was this house really almost a tear down and they had to rebuild it?
I mean, I don't think it was in bad shape, but I think they found some things when they were starting that they wound up almost rebuilding it.
You can talk to him and talk to him about the landscaping.
I'm not convinced this is award winning.
I'm throwing my hat in for North Mountain, Siskiyou, and 7th Street forthcoming.
Second
Street.
Okay, so I
need to. One of the most important things for historic is maintaining the original facade of the building. And they've done that.
Yeah.
Okay. And so I would be inclined to give them an award based on they did no harm, essentially.
Yeah, right. That's a good point. I think that is because that's what we're looking for. Yeah.
Right, we're looking to preserve.
Yes, that's right. So
That like three or four of them.
The mountain, let's put in Hellman and the Frank Clark House and possibly the second street.
If I may just add something, Bill,
yes.
To kind of take off of that. It's an outstanding point that you do that. And one of the things that I think is neat by awarding a property such as this, it motivates homeowners that are considering this in the future to not have to do something on the scale of
that's exactly what I was thinking
to keep them
it's
excited about doing something. Yeah, so
these people did a decent job.
Sure,
they don't have as deep a pockets as Siskiyou, obviously.
Certainly,
and we not need to encourage that.
Right, and you just it's as much about what you're incenting for the future as it is awarding. It was done right here in the present. So
I think that's a really valid point because we don't.
Not offenders.
No, I think it's a good point.
There are a lot of people who do additions and remodels don't get awards because it doesn't show. It's not showing from the street. But those are the people who maybe should be getting awards because the facade remains original.
Terry, are you there? What do you think of the voting on this house? Because some people, well, I think the point that we're agreeing to, that Bill made, is that we are trying to honor houses that maintain the original facade and character.
Right.
Do you agree?
It has been changed. The porch columns to me jump out, but like I said, it could have been worse.
Might be the best we can get from Terry.
Yeah, they've kept the character, so it's kind of a borderline, but you're probably going to have that quite a bit.
Yeah.
Kind of realistically that. They could have really changed it. They kept the that decorative porch, you know, those
the top pieces
would you know it if you didn't see the original? You know, if you saw it by itself.
Yeah. But it's nice to get one that's more like a cottage, and maybe the north second one like a cottage too.
Yeah.
But I'm glad it meets your.
And we do have Katie here too, if you want to check in with her.
Oh, where is she? I thought she might be up. Katie, we haven't heard from you.
She was muted, I think.
Katie, you're muted. If you want to talk, you can unmute.
Is she traveling? She's there?
She's at the refrigerator.
I can't even see.
I'll just say one more thing about this house. And it comes up sometimes that what used to be a wooden porch, and wooden porches often at that time used to be 1x4 TNG that ran perpendicular to the house and kind of drained that way, and they rot away, and the joists kind of rot away. So they've chosen to do a concrete porch there. I've seen that a couple other times. So that's not very historic, but pretty practical.
Yeah.
Okay. So we've got three, potentially four, depending on whether the owner of North Second is comfortable. Mm-hmm. And then
have Mountain, Siskiyou,
and Hellman, the one we just looked at. Then are there any committee... the individual awards nominees and that people have?
Has Terry been given an award?
That's what I think.
Hasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
Dale, are you ready?
No, this guy. So I wanted to talk about him getting an award, and he happens to be in, is it Canada you're going to be there, May 18th? He's publicity shot, this guy.
And did you plan that?
Yeah, no, really.
No, I didn't. That was the wife.
having to go see Sisters, which is not a pretty picture either. Yeah. I'm enjoying.
Well, then an award could save you from that trip.
I want to kind of go out like Marie and Bill did, kind of quietly.
It wasn't actually that quiet. We just didn't invite very many people.
Well, there's no one that last year we had took an opportunity to nominate the people who had long service on this board, and that was nice. But if nobody jumps the front of mind, we've got
a
lot.
You're not ready to.
You're trying to get me out of here?
No, you can get an award. You can still be here.
Terry,
So we have done in the past civic projects.
Oh.
You could do the map project, although it seems a little weird to do one that you guys did.
Yeah.
So. And we did give an award to this. To the map one.
Okay.
We did.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, we did. Yeah.
Well, we gave them, didn't we give Keith an award last year?
Yeah.
And Tom, you know, who were, had yeah. gone off, and Tom had gone off years before. But, you know, if we know somebody that's been on for a long while that's going off,
yeah,
then I think that probably is something to consider.
Has Peter Finkel gotten an award?
Yeah.
He did a couple years ago, yeah.
That's right.
How are you looking, Sam?
Is that
what?
Is that true? Has it?
I'm 90% sure he did get an award.
You want to get rid of it?
We just stated that you can get the award and still be here.
Yeah. Oh.
So Terry got an award and he's still here. He's on the owl.
Yeah. Well, I mean, three houses is still enough, and we'll probably have
two other activities.
That's what I was going to say. Mm-hmm. Two other activities, meaning the tour and the ribbon cutting.
I think we're okay.
The lean year. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You could,
and you have?
Could give an award to the artist that did the Golden Connections, or did we already do that?
We did. That's interesting.
And do the pictures a little bit larger. They were kind of.
Yeah.
Overpower.
I mean, they did. I mean, I guess that's part of their job and recognition when they presented their sculpture.
Mm-hmm.
They did an amazing, thorough research.
And yeah, they were kind of.
I don't know. They got a lot of credit.
You know what?
That was a pretty special event.
Yeah.
I feel would be great is for a woman who doesn't even have the business, the one that did the medallions, which are exceptional.
Yeah.
And if you know, I don't know if she's still in New York City.
No, they are really beautiful.
They are outstanding.
They're just beautiful.
And so they have it. You know, this will be the first time we're calling public attention to them. But I think it would be wonderful if the poor woman worked. I think she lost money on this project, without a doubt. Don't you?
Yeah, but I don't think it's appropriate to award somebody that distant.
You don't?
Not really.
Yeah, I really don't.
Oh, that's too bad. We can write her a nice letter and say, here's the medallion.
As a chair, you can write her
a nice if I can find her.
You can do that.
Well, that's probably true.
Okay.
So
Katie Rep is trying to communicate, but she's not unable. She's unable to get it.
Oh, that's the Marcus manager.
I think she has to.
Can she tell us if she concurs with where we're going?
Yeah, she had a couple of things to say.
Oh, she did. Okay.
And I can ask her to unmute.
Oh, she's in the chat, though.
Oh, this here. Oh, there we are. I like.
You like Peter Sipes, huh?
Yeah.
So there's no objection, Katie. Can you hear us?
She says that I like the Peter Sipes song.
Yeah, but
which one was that?
Katie, did you have anything else to chat to us?
That's the Hop Hellman.
Nothing happening. Nothing else.
Nothing else. Thank you. Thank you. Sorry, we can't hear you. so I think at this point we could use a motion.
to approve with the understanding that the where is it? The 263 North Second would be on as a possibility to add.
What did they do there, Sam?
Well, the house was almost derelict, and they just fixed it up. But it looks like
Yeah, yeah, it's nicely done.
It's nicely done.
And it's the exterior. Yeah.
We do need people to sign up for write-ups, too.
Yes, that's right. So I'm signed up for, what am I signed up for? Oh, the ninth, the second, if they come on.
I thought Sam was going to do it.
Well, he's decided to do the Clark home.
I think it was decided for him.
Yes, it was. We said if he's lived in all these.
I will do it.
Frank Clark homes, he has the background. And then what about?
192 North Mountain.
I think Katie's saying she wanted to do Hellman.
That would be great. Can we get it her?
Yeah, come on, those who aren't here to do
that.
Unless she was talking about it. So.
Yeah, if you could text her, that's great.
She said, absolutely.
Oh, did she?
No, she said, shut up.
Oh. That's funny. Okay. Yeah, when you don't have a voice, you can't be too careful. Well, so what about North Mountain?
So the people that do the write-ups are also going to read them.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And you read from the program, so.
Yeah. Yeah.
So anybody inspired to do the property on Mountain Avenue that was?
I would, but I think I'm actually going to be in the same situation as Dave.
Oh, you're going to be out of town. Bummer.
So somebody could read. Somebody else could read it if you still want to do it. Or Shelby, would you be interested in doing it, or do you not let you not want them?
I'll do it.
You could.
You can talk about the landscaping.
Exactly what I was going to say. You could suggest the landscaping.
Yeah, it makes some suggestions.
Right, and we could probably see if the subdivision might have had a little bit of write up on it that might give some background.
Okay. Sure.
And wasn't there one or two more houses that were?
I don't think there was one. No, because I think they built four along there, but I don't think any of them were.
So one was
on the railroad track.
Yeah. And they preserved two big trees in conjunction with it. Yeah. The street connection.
Is it sold? I mean, one on Mountain.
Yeah, the one on Mountain. So they sold it before the subdivision happened in order to get some additional cash.
Yeah, I knew that.
And the woman,
because Laz owned it, you know, when he bought all the property. Yeah. I know he sold that, but has it been sold?
No, the woman Laz sold it to actually hired Asher to remodel it for her.
Oh,
and
okay.
She moved into it with her mother.
I see.
And I know way too much about people's personal lives.
That's weird.
Well, you've been here long. So the Hellman Street then is the only one that remained.
Katie was doing that.
Is she okay with it?
She says it's the weekend of her daughter's college graduation.
Yeah. Well, that's...
yeah, it's right up there.
Oh, there it says. It's my daughter's graduate. Well, congratulations. Let's see.
Bill, would you want to do it?
Yeah, I'd try.
Will you? Especially since you made the case.
Yeah, you did.
For strongly.
That's great. Yeah.
That's great.
And they did very little harm.
Yeah, do no harm clause. But okay. I think that's a good spell question.
What's it? Two Mountain?
What's that?
That Mountain.
Hellman.
131 Hellman.
It's 131 Hellman.
Yeah, that's the one that you've advocated and changed our minds. So because we have to go through this ODOT stuff, I think.
Well, do you have the person here for 348 North Main?
Yes, let's definitely do that.
We had a motion on the table, though.
Yeah, we don't. And so is there a motion to... and if you could,
we don't need a motion.
We have a motion.
Well, you don't? She wanted to do a motion for the award.
Oh. Oh, we didn't agree.
Do we not need a motion, you think?
Well, we've never done that before.
Oh, you haven't done it.
No.
Well, then, good.
Unless you want to set a precedent.
No, I don't want to set a precedent for procedure. No. So this is by consensus, and we have everybody assigned, and you're clear, right, Regan? Because you have to always make sense of this. Mm-hmm. And so let's then, everybody's...
And okay. Vero, you're talking to Peter on the walking tour? Okay.
Oh, on the walking tour, yes. I will be following up with Peter and Ken, probably.
And on the QR code issue,
yeah,
we're in the process of updating the city website. So we've just turned over all of the city website data to a consultant who is rebuilding our entire website. It's slated to go on sometime April, May. So we basically have been told to avoid as much as possible adding new stuff.
Yeah.
So I don't know if or how we can do the QR codes, but I'm happy to follow up and talk to Katie directly.
And she can't even come. But I think it's important to follow up if you can't with all of us, because I'm interested in what if we obviously isn't going to happen this year, but that's one of the things that we want to continue to. We were going to do it with the medallions, for example.
Yeah. So I will.
Yes. Follow up
with everyone.
Thank you for that.
Katie.
Did Katie get that? We were wanting to get.
She says, okay.
Okay, good. Okay. Thanks. Now we'll skip over to the 348 North Main. And. Could you introduce yourself?
Thanks. Yeah, I'm Jason Eaton.
Jason Eaton with this.
Ethan, you can come up.
Yes, I was going to say, come right up.
Yeah.
Stare at the owl.
Yeah.
Terry.
Joke from earlier.
Okay. So, this is the site design review. We don't need to have a formal staff.
I mean, I can read the explanation of it. It's a request for residential site review to construct one new residential unit, which is their Cottage 5, and expand the previous approved residential unit, Cottage 4, for the property at 348 North Main. Site design review is required for development of three or more units. The new proposed unit, Cottage 5, is located within the historic district boundaries and subject to the design standards. And it's being reviewed here tonight at 5 p.m. So there you go. And I think review board saw this probably 2 months ago and had no real concerns raised.
Then you were there too, Jason?
No, I was not.
I don't think anyone came for it. I think it was just review board looking at it with me.
Okay, yeah. The owner, Laura Sainz, is the one that actually submitted the site review.
Oh, gotcha.
My company drew the plans for the Cottage 5, the one that's in the historic district.
And also the addition for 4?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, both, I thought.
Which is outside the historic.
Yeah, that's a complication on this one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is there anything you want to highlight, Jason, about...
Not particularly. I'm happy to answer any questions. I mean, I don't know if anybody's seen that property, and I don't know if Laura put photos of the existing cottages, but I would just say that everything on that property is super eclectic, and there's a couple shed roofs, there's a couple gable end houses. The existing house, I think, is contributing historic. The main house that faces Main Street.
This one, like the 5, the number 5, you can't see from the street. You have to go.
Yeah, I mean, part of the proposal is to add some parking on the alley, but there's still going to be a fence and landscaping. Like, really, Cottage 5 won't, no one will be able to see it unless you literally are inside the fence.
And Bill, did you go see it?
Yeah, I walked around, and you can't see much from the perimeter between the hedge and the fences. What you do see on Hellman Street is the eclectic nature of the property, and in addition to the cottages, There's appeared to be a greenhouse and some other sheds and so on. It's kind of like the world would look like if there were no building codes.
Well, tell me this. How did you get through historic before?
Well, I think it went undercover.
We have looked at this more than once over the years.
Oh, have you?
This piece of property. Oh, definitely.
Existing accessory buildings that were converted to residential units on the property. So they were sheds or whatever in the backyard that got converted. And that's more recent.
And where's the fifth one going relative to this?
I think this is cottage 4 that's getting an addition. And then the fifth one is going back. Not super visible from the street, I think.
Mm-hmm. So how big is it?
Yeah, I don't think you can really see anything.
48 square feet or something, 16 by 24.
So was anybody on the review board that was present for this, remember? Or if they, what Derek is saying is the review board didn't see any concerns. So... That's always good news.
I was on the review board that day, but actually I remember that the drawing I was looking at was quite different from this one. Who was with me? Was it you, Sam, or Phil?
Yeah.
So I think it came to a full meeting.
Did it?
Oh.
And it probably came to the full meeting for Cottage 4.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't think I was a part of that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's been a couple years ago. And Cottage 4 was approved before the full commission. And never, I think it's never been completed. So it's never gotten final inspections to be what was approved before. And now they're adding to it.
Where you and I were.
And Cottage 5, yeah, made some suggestions about orienting it towards the little alley there.
Yeah.
But it really is immaterial because of just the way it's so secluded.
Yeah, and they do have a connection out to the alley,
yeah.
And then they're proposing three parallel parking spaces along the alley.
So the alley is quite narrow. I'm assuming they're moving the fence in.
Correct.
Yeah.
And I'll just tell you, Jason, and everyone else that's here, we did have a call from the neighbor this afternoon, and you'll probably be getting an email from her copied tomorrow that she's just concerned about the placement of parking. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We were told that was going to happen before we submitted.
And what's that mean?
I mean, it just, neighbors have 2 weeks to provide comments on any application. So
but the concern about parking is street parking?
These three spaces along the alley, the neighbor across the alley is concerned with where it is relative to her house. So
more traffic that she's never seen before?
Or headlights from parked cars flashing onto her property. When they're pulling in, okay. Although I think there's less of an issue with that with parallel
space. Yeah,
that's sure. Yeah.
Minimize the impact on her.
Yeah, and she may not fully understand that. So I figure when we get an email, we can give her a better diagram than what she's seen.
But the parking is happening within the subject property.
Correct.
It is. Okay.
Yeah. Not in the alley.
And other than two rules, they wouldn't have to provide. Parking.
There's no requirement that they have parking yet. So they could, if they wanted to respond to her concerns, they could just not install any parking.
You can send them a picture of where the nearest bus stop is and say it's within 25 feet of the public transport.
It's right on the bus line.
Yes.
What surprised me on this, this is a landscape. Well, it's open space is one of the factors under consideration. They have, for this many buildings, they have 10,800 feet of open space, which the minimum required is 1,000. So they have, there must be a lot, is there a lot of green space?
Very mature landscape in there. Yeah.
Is there?
There's a grove of aspens that are mature. There's tons of
plants. So that's kind of cool that they've kept all that. The tree committee would be happy if there was a tree committee.
Yeah, there's nothing substantial as far as like trees that we're not proposing to remove any trees either.
Oh, good. Well, that's good. Okay. So do we?
I'd like to make a motion to approve.
And that's from Dale. Let us take a moment.
Have you looked at the building yet? Did we see the elevations you put? There.
So this is the proposed addition to Cottage 4, just this piece.
Mm-hmm.
And then Cottage 5 is this, which I'm not quickly seeing a square footage on here.
That's 24 by 24
is that 340? 24?
I'll second Dale's motion.
Okay. It's almost the size of a single car garage.
Yeah, it's pretty
so small. The line I can't read from here above the door, is that an onion or something?
Yeah, just a small, like 24-inch projection. Yeah.
Any other questions before we take a vote?
Second Dale's motion.
Yeah, I think we had a second, but thank you. It's always good to have more seconds. And all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Well, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
That was pretty smooth.
Good. Yeah, that was great.
We'll get you next time.
Yeah. Thanks, everyone. Oh, thank you very much. Good to have you.
Yeah, thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
I appreciate all the wonderful work. This is really fun.
Take care.
Okay, let's get us some money, okay? Yeah.
Okay, so I think if we're going to get back on, let's look at the KS Wild proposal for a mural next to their house that they remodeled.
The house was left to them by
one of the board members.
I knew him pretty well. Yeah.
Well, he died very young.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I was.
Yeah.
It was sad. So
he'd worked for KS Wild.
That's what I thought.
His family, his mother was wealthy.
Oh, I see.
So what street corner is that near?
It's on
4th and 5th on A.
Yeah. Yeah, 562 A Street is the blue building that they own. And then the adjacent building is where Piccadilly Cycles is.
Oh.
And Miss Hughes, which is no longer there.
And who owns the cycle building?
Miss Hughes is
that in Piccadilly?
Right to the right.
John and Carol Davis own the cycle building.
And
so that's a block wall.
And they're approving.
I mean, they don't have a design yet. They have an artist picked out, and they want it sort of to be themed with, environmental themes. The idea would be similar to what we did with
John
Pugh. Northwest Nature Shop, where they wanted to do some art, and we said we're good with that, but we'd like to see.
I think the concept is fine, but I think we need to see a design or something before we can act on it.
And I talked to Ken England because they're the arts people are looking at this, and the owner Carol Davis used to be, former chair of the Arts Commission. So they do have a specific artist in mind.
Is their website. So, I mean, it gives an idea of the variety of things that they do.
The Roger Pete is in Portland. And so I think it's going to make a big difference what the design is. And the status of it is that who is the gentleman who's the executive director? Michael Dotson made a presentation already to the public arts about this proposal. And isn't it paid for too?
I can't remember how, but I believe it is.
I can't remember, but And they talked about the thing that I find interesting and is current on the front page is that the Ridges to Riffles Indigenous is a really odd name, but conservation group is now sharing space with Klamath Siskiyou Wildlife Center. And they're both conservation minded, but this new Indigenous group that's sharing their office is the one that's been advocating for those dams along the Klamath River to be.
Yeah.
And did you see how many fish died already? The salmon
from
the loss of the dam. There was like 850,000 baby salmon died
because of all
from the sediment.
All the sediment, yeah.
But also they call it gas bubble. It was going down into.
Yeah.
It just makes me so sad. That's a, so they're going to do another. They have another farm that they're going to do a little older
stamp. That last elevation.
But anyway, so that part of the image may be about acknowledging the river restoration, which is a pretty big deal. It's the first time in a country, right, that dams have been.
Well, the Elwha River, and I think in Washington, came out not too long ago.
I thought I read this was first.
Jennifer, that's in our office and helping with public arts, her husband is the landscape architect that's doing that, and he also worked on the Elwha River in Washington.
And he's working on this project?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It's probably when they have the word riffle.
Is that?
Yeah. A riffle is when you're coming down the river.
Can you go back to those photos?
It's a technical term. Right. It's a term of art. Did anybody
know? It's a term of a river.
Yes, but it's a term of art in landscaping, maybe, right?
Terry, are you still there?
Yeah.
So we're looking at that building. Do you remember we'd given that building an award when they remodeled it and recreated the front facade? Do you remember what the name of the building was?
Is that the VFW building?
Is it the VFW?
I think.
There is a plaque out there.
Yeah, it does look like it.
I think
Yeah.
Oh, you might not be able to see it.
I probably won't, but...
So,
pretty good photo.
I would like to make a comment about it. I'm not... those are old... Those are old brick, old lintel, and pretty classic in its age and texture and everything. And that's just a classic storefront, masonry storefront. And... And when you look at the next picture, do we see more of the front at all or not? There you go. So I'm just going to throw out the idea that, you know, when you add, if we added a building, if we added an addition to this thing, you would always step it back from the facade. And I'm just wondering if you could take the same idea that could a mural step back 6 feet or 8 feet. So you really feel like, I mean, that's not a great looking piece of blockwork on this facade.
No.
But on the other hand, what it's doing is showing the historic building, and architecturally and interiorly sometimes, when you bring two separate materials to an edge, that always bothers me that, you know. So I'm just wondering if we could have them possibly wrap leaving the existing textured ball maybe to the left side of that plant there, and so you see it as a whole. Just a thought.
So when you say wrap, what does that would suggest to me?
I got a question for you on that though too.
Yeah.
No, that's okay. I just...
So right now it's painted, looks to be something in lavender, or I don't know what it is.
Or gray.
It's a gray or white.
So to Dale's point, like if that paint was removed or sandblasted and the natural stone texture that's on the front carried around to the corner.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's true.
And we don't know that it is the same.
But it's cement.
It is cement.
It's cementitious.
Right.
So.
Let me just see that next one. So
they are the same block.
It does look like they are.
But they, you know, this one may have been textured, and the back, and you can get block that, you know, isn't textured, like the side of a textured block, so
that's a grass,
more smooth. The same grass, that's my point. Maybe, I mean, they're not the same color, they're not the same texture. But if it was wrapped, if this facade was wrapped to here, and the mural started there, it wouldn't be as glaring.
So what if they were to kind of come to the middle of that, whatever that bush is?
Yeah. I was thinking the left side of it. But
and did some type of treatment where that paint was removed and then this concrete could be resealed with something, and then the mural started to the left.
Yeah, or a compatible color with the facade that's there. You know, I think it'd be hard to remove all the paint and get down to the texture.
One of the things that Terry has been concerned about in the past with art installations is the the texture of the block or the formwork or the historic nature of the construction.
Right.
And what I would hate to see is if it were stuccoed over or that we would somehow lose that historic texture.
Right. Which was discussed on the Elks building, right?
I don't know if it was.
It was.
Because it's also discussed
with board form and it's classic. And we had that during the discussion about Elks. And I don't know if the Elks mural comes all the way to the front edge either.
I think it does.
Does it?
Feels like
it. I felt like it was, complete.
Because it's the wall. Yeah, it's the whole.
But I think.
Interesting. Go ahead.
I think, I'm impressed that you have a middle ground.
There you go.
Because don't touch
that Elk building.
Yeah.
I did find out from a picture at Terry's facility, there was a picture there in the Elks building. They had a giant elk on top. And I asked Terry if it was a picture from the 40s because the cars were all the 40s. And I was wondering, Terry, was that bronze or something? He said, no, I think that was a real elk up there. And it was on the exterior of the building up top.
It was probably the elk that they killed a few people.
Oh, was there?
I think it's up in the ballroom now.
And it fell.
Yeah. Well, it killed a few people, so they killed it. And
field, not on the sidewalk.
In the field.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I remember you said somewhere.
In the John Hughes mural, you said, we don't have elk. Remember that?
Well, it was in a petting zoo in Olympia Park.
What's that? I think
the first time I ever saw an elk was at the petting zoo in Olympia Park. Came up to see it on a Saturday morning, and vandals had come and shot it with arrows. So I'm like 7 years old, and I see the elk standing there with arrows. Holy! And that's why we don't have a petting zoo.
Could you go back to some of their pictures? Does it show any of their artwork with coming right to the front end?
They aren't specified.
Yeah, they haven't shown us anything other than just who the artist is.
What's that?
They're just like wanting a concept approval.
You know, but I just their website showed 10 pictures. Is there one
somewhere
like that
on that text about the junk?
The artwork is wrapping the building.
Yeah.
But these aren't all for KS1.
These are just their side of who the artist is, their style.
Yeah, right, I understand that. I'm just saying if there's an example, do they always go to the edges? Do they always not?
Well, I think if people are inclined to agree with Dale, and I would be persuaded that there's something to be said for that.
Okay.
Then what I think is important is that we have that information presented back to KS Wild before they talk to the artist.
There is one picture that gives it a good keep going. Maybe we already missed it. I think back up.
Do you mean? I think it's the first one that they're separate panels.
Right. Go back to the eagle and the
lion. That one.
Yeah. Now I don't know what that is. I mean, in terms of the wall, but you could visualize if you had figures on the wall and left the background of the wall still there, you still get the element of nature or whatever, but you could visualize that as the gray wall that we're looking at on the left side of the building. So the building is intact, and you've added artwork to it rather than defacing the building.
And it would make the point that we don't want any stucco, any other material.
We like the tech. We want the texture. And again, That's a perfect example.
That's a good idea.
If that was gray and you had as many animals or plants or whatever the theme is, it doesn't need to be solid.
Right. So are we saying that we want to make, we would recommend, because that's all we can do, that the architectural integrity of the surface, or what do we call that, exterior wall, that not be
first of all, no materials, other materials would be, would change the brick, right? Right. Is that what we're saying?
There's two things, yeah.
Two things. And then the second thing is ideally if an image could be placed on that as a background.
And that's an example. And if they did that, there it is.
If that isn't something the artist is interested in, to at least have a, how do we call that, a setback? Just a setback on the wall?
I'm changing my mind now that I saw that. I would say that the texture of the building is integral to the historic architecture, and that if you want to put art on it, it ought to be applied where it doesn't obliterate the historic facade. And I don't know if that's a recommendation or not, but I wouldn't want to see it any other way. I mean, I'd get pretty.
But what, we know.
One of the other, one of the other the front showed applied panels on the side of the building, and that would be acceptable to me.
Correct. Well. Applied panels or figured.
Applied panels?
There's a slide that.
Let's see that one.
And the Terry panels. Was trying
I think
to say
it's
something.
Like the first or second one.
Go back
there.
Go back up. That's there it is. But go up again. There's another one that there's a brick building. Now they
right.
I can't tell if that's still a brick building.
Yeah, that destroyed.
Yeah, it is. I think.
I mean, to me, that is the worst example of doing anything to a historic building.
But they are.
Once it's painted or once it's textured.
But the weather's, it looks great.
Terry, we're going to stop talking here so we can hear you. What were you going to say?
Right. Yeah, I'm kind of agreeing that this, the brick building with that artwork destroys the historic character. But I think it's important also that the historic texture, because some buildings had a building attached at one time and it was torn away, but you see the footprint or the outline of it. But it's kind of interesting the difference, the surface, how it stood up. But the front, I think I would avoid anything on the front. Or wrapping a building where it turns a corner.
Right. So would you concur with the recommendation that Dale is proposing that they keep the architectural surface?
I think we'll go back to that picture again. So it's either paneled applied or figure supplied, with the background being the existing natural facade. Building.
That I like that one.
Which one?
Well, I like this concept.
Yeah.
And it doesn't destroy the original.
Yeah, that is because they have both sides up, the other exterior facade shows.
Yeah, so you look at that from a 45-degree angle, you see the building, and it doesn't have this edge division.
It would be great if we could maybe work. First of all, I want to get a sense of the people because we're short of time. It's a long meeting. So I know. So is anyone have a disagreement with this concept?
No disagreement.
No. So would it be okay if Dale and I wrote a letter and actually borrowed some of those examples as from his own artwork that would be more respectful of the historic character? Is that okay?
Yeah, I think so.
And do we want to? We don't have to have a motion. I think we'll just follow through on that.
Yeah.
But we probably should do it sooner than later.
Well, we are making a recommendation, right?
Yeah, that's true.
That's, you're memorializing the recommendation in your letter.
Yeah.
With the examples and what you
and
what
you
said
here. Are we still a recommending body? At what point do we not have any authority?
I would have to look at the public art process.
Yeah, I've looked at that, and I think it's interpretation.
I mean, it's not a land use decision, but I mean, I think there is.
It has to be compatible to the historic architecture and doesn't detract from it. And that was kind of my argument on the Elks Club. But,
okay, so there's three things.
Okay.
I think that's a BFW was there. Am I correct?
Yeah, I think so.
Yes. Oh, okay. That,
so it's the art can be applied. Mm-hmm. It's the maintaining the texture of the building, and it's the preference of having some type of setback from the corner.
Well, I'm not even saying I think I thought that first, but now still, it's architecturally it's fake. Right now, if you use the applied panels or the applied figures, you still see the texture and color of the building as a whole, and somebody's applied something to it.
It's as
so wrapping isn't quite relevant here, unless you put some sort of column there to stop it or something.
Yeah, but I was kind of of the opinion that I'd like to improve or extend what was seen on the front of the building to the side too.
Right.
Then the raw cement.
Right.
So if that involves maybe removing some of the paint and sealing that concrete so that we still see concrete going to concrete.
I think that would be difficult to do, and it might deteriorate some of the block if you got down to that. But if it's, again, it does feel, I don't know if that's really lavender or is that just the color of the sunset, I don't know, whatever. But I see that as a historic whole, and if you bring the
lavender,
if you bring the figures anywhere close to the edge is fine, as long as you still have the edge and a variability like that particular picture.
So to be able to see the side wall in the front wall connection, to see those.
Well, I think the perfect example is those two examples.
That we had in the pictures, So we want, I think everybody, we're knows what we're saying. The panels are unique and they don't do anything to the surface.
I like that.
And then that we can
add, it's easier to interchange them.
And not distort the front.
The eagle and the panther is the other one.
For clarification, you're saying not to disturb the front of the building?
Right, we don't want to do that. But if you look at this picture, Terry, and you look and you looked at the picture we just saw of the blank facade, if all the background on this building here was the same as the building in Ashland, do you basically put figures superimposed on the existing paint and texture?
I think it's better to go with that route, but not on the front.
No, absolutely not. And the proposal was only for the sidewall. They never envisioned it being on the front. What Dale's recommending, I think everybody is in agreement with, that they keep the facade and of the exterior brick or concrete, I guess it is, and then look at these options for applied paint or panels.
Yep.
Right? Is that what you're saying?
On the side.
Yes, on the side. So
that needs clarification.
You want to just formally take a motion that, or just to because I think the letter would be going to the art commission. Right. I mean, to the public art. You
probably copy Chaos Wild.
That's what I would think. So the letter we're proposing would go to the arts, our colleagues in this, and then CC Chaos Wild as soon as possible, so the artist
and it will read the public arts requirement as it relates to historic. So
we have to reference. Okay, reference. If everybody's in agreement with that, we can just say Regan, you're really good at putting this on paper. So we're just saying we're going to follow up with a letter outlining those proposals.
Good.
Okay, great. We're on now. Thank you very much, folks. One more. Oh, God. And it's, we don't have anything to report on map two. You'll be glad to know. So we just have to finish off on ODOT here.
We could all go lobby the parks meeting and start.
Yeah, 10 minutes. That's when Ken is presenting the map program tonight.
Okay.
So you had a chance to talk to Scott.
Yeah, I talked to Scott about this today. Do you have your pictures that you showed us in the email?
Oh, right.
The
one color contrast that you got.
So this is really a different question than what Shelby and I worked on her letter. Are we also reviewing that letter today?
Yes.
Okay. So this is a pretty good, well, let's see. Do we have any of the, we don't have, can you pull up any of the other shots of action that we didn't like? Or is that?
I don't think I have those.
Okay. So on this corner.
Sorry.
So on this corner, they could have, you know, there's those sidewalks are 5 or 6 feet wide where those yellow textured bumpy panels are. And that's what blind people are looking for, that texture. They could have raised that curb on the corner right there. That curb could have been raised and it would have had those angles that we see elsewhere in town that go from zero. And that whole section that you're outlining would be recessed next to the left side of it and a curb on the right side. And that's where we would put gravel. Does everybody see that or not?
Mm-hmm. So you're saying that would provide the contrast, the surface?
Well, I mean, this is a different question. I mean, Scott, when we talked about color, we both went, why would you do that? They're both going to, first of all, the color contrast isn't enough. And then they're both going to weather to the point where you can't tell them apart anyway. And they already have the visual of a yellow or a brick red pattern that's required. So he said, he looked at that and he said, well, people are going to go across the diagonal because they don't know where they're going. You know, if this was raised, had a curve here, this would be angled to zero there. That would be a drop off. And we filled gravel like we looked at. The gravel would be an inch below and that would be a texture change. And they would be directed this direction or that direction.
So
that's the way we both thought that it should have probably been done. I think he said that he even saw somebody going diagonal.
Well, and that may be what gets done with this next round.
Well, I don't know why that, I mean, that should be fixed. That's a hazard.
Yeah, well, I mean, that, and that may be fixed because, I mean, this is done before their current projects. This was just associated with that building. So it very well could be fixed with the next round of ODOT work.
Well, that was all their work, huh?
This was the... Oh, yeah, well, before ODOT was involved, this was Mahar.
Did they need to get redone
and
a new slope?
We started the fight with ODOT on this one because ODOT insisted on putting the yellow bumpy surfaces where all three other legs of this intersection were brick.
Mm-hmm.
And so we didn't let Mahar epoxy down that yellow on the assumption that we're going to work it out with ODOT and fix it.
Cool. I mean, in reality, you know, the curve idea, I mean, you can always take a curve from here and run it here and run it there. And that would be a gravel implanted is what we're proposing because you're not going to walk across that tree. And that just directs people further in a safe, simple way.
And the question,
that post right now is pretty susceptible to getting run into.
But the ODOT question coming through.
On the letter, yeah.
Back to the letter.
Yeah, the letter, but then the other.
But thing. We're talking about her letter is saying, as of yesterday,
yeah.
is the contrast.
Is the idea would be because they think those brick bumpy surfaces don't contrast enough with our particular color of concrete. They want to do our particular color of concrete for the sidewalk back here, but then have all the rest of this be, including the curb, be regular gray concrete. So you would have a patchwork of color at the intersection.
Right.
Which sounds awful, doesn't right. it?
And so, Scott's reaction was, what are they thinking?
Yeah, you
may make skin crawl, but did they have a problem with the yellow domes?
I mean, that's their standard. They're doing the brick for us
oh,
because okay. we told them the yellow was gaudy and And I think probably the issue in talking to Public Works is also that they've been doing these curb projects with small batches of concrete. So they're having to run a small batch and it's still costly, and then having the extra time added on of adding in the color. So it's probably the contractor pushing to avoid that additional cost and time.
Of having the gray mix?
Yeah, having to mix in the San Diego buff with the gray.
So so the contractors are fighting you?
I mean, that's what Public Works is thinking is behind this. But the request is coming from ODOT saying that the brick red doesn't provide enough contrast with our San Diego buff.
So ODOT pays the bill.
You're kidding. They're complaining about they're bright red brick compared to our buff is like no color.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, like I said, that's not what's being framed as the request from ODOT. They're only bringing up the contrast and the color.
Of concrete.
Yeah. Not the cost issue.
Right. And not the yellow or brick.
Yeah, they haven't suggested going back to yellow.
Whatever the color is.
Did you?
Unimportant.
Did you guys, you two who were on the committee writing the letter that you wrote posed earlier, what is your response to this letter that says they'd like to...
Referring to the color there.
Well, this is, we'd like to propose using the San Diego color, which is the color we have. But omitting the color additive from the run, I don't know.
Yeah.
Do you agree with that?
No.
I didn't think you do. So can we possibly delegate this back to the subcommittee?
This is a corner you chose. It's not the corner they're looking.
No, they're talking all of the future projects in the next phase, and they're looking to get this question answered. They were hoping for an answer tonight.
That's what I
Can they go back to the pink mate? Go ahead.
What were you going to say, Shelby?
I'm sorry, guys. I have to leave at 6. So I'm just going to say my piece. I think I actually don't think that's, I know that's gaudy, but I would prefer, can you look at that picture again?
Maybe.
I would rather see our colored concrete go all the way and then use the yellow truncated domes rather than having to do yellow or colored concrete and then switch to gray concrete. And then do the red. I think if we have to like choose between one or the other, that would be my vote.
Well, I don't think there's look at how many different colors of buff there are there.
You know, I mean, that's like, what stood out to me is how inconsistent the color we're using is.
And when you go gray, it's not going to be that much different. So, I mean.
Could we, because you have to leave, are you okay, the two of you as a subcommittee, taking it from here?
Okay,
because you might have to change add something to this letter you've already drafted.
Well, isn't it? It's really a different question.
It's a totally different question.
So you want to write a separate? So do we want to approve the letter you would like to send out? Because you've already spent time on that. Did everybody look at that?
No, I mean, okay. Yeah.
Because we haven't got it sent out.
Yeah. There's two things. Did everybody look at the letter?
This is the letter that says that you're wanting it to be. Cobblestone, which was bad looking, be replaced with washed cobble, except below the, those are up. But anyway, that it's a uniform color that matches the adjacent concrete.
Could we go back to the picture that shows that they sent us, the pink one?
Yes. Maybe.
So the first thing we, as a little committee, did, we had started with 4, now we were down to 2, but we looked at all the downtown areas that had a curb around it, and they put the cobbles all mortared in. Terrible workmanship, inconsistent, looked awful.
Who came up with that?
Take it out. Then what do you put back in there? Is stamped concrete, chips, wood chips, or gravel. And so we walked around town, we saw that when they chose gravel, they chose a 3/4 to 4 inch minus gravel. It just looked chunky. It's like it looks like they put their waste in there or something. And then we saw a homeowner who had right next to it 3/4 to 1.5 inch washed drain rock. It looked great. And then the other proposal was that we suggested that they landscape any area that's wider than 2 or 3 feet.
And all those things are less expensive.
Yeah.
That's important.
Yeah, so it's a very simple thing to do.
Right.
Whether we can get people to put plants in there or not.
But that...
If you looked at the letter, there's two beautiful pictures that she put in there that show...
Right.
It's like, wow, the whole corner is enhanced.
These are the pictures from sisters or something?
Yeah.
If you saw...
Sisters can do that one, can't
yeah.
we?
Sisters is a great city. So if people agree with those recommendations, we could at least make a motion to have this letter as it stands sent out in the next day or two, and then ask the subcommittee to address this second issue when you have time and when she doesn't have to leave right now. Okay.
And I don't know that ODOT's going to be able to wait that long because they're trying to go out to bid based on concrete color.
So,
I mean, Scott kind of thinks what for, and that's kind of what we're saying.
Yeah.
That we don't think that the contrast sheet color makes a difference in where they weather. They're going to be similar, and we're against it.
Okay.
Yeah, that's kind of with everybody. We're against the idea of these concrete colors.
I can certainly say that.
Can you respond to that in staff?
I mean, yes.
Two sentences, really.
Yeah.
Oh, great.
Can you repeat that?
So, number one,
the contrast is an issue, and we're against it.
We don't think the contrast in natural to buff color will be enough to be noticed. And after it weathers, they're going to be very close to similar.
We don't.
And it's not worth sidewalks. It's not worth the extra expense.
And do we need a motion, do you think, Derek, for the letter that was already?
I think if you make a motion to sign that letter, that would be good.
Okay. Can someone make that motion before Shelby has to leave?
So moved.
A second?
Second.
Okay. Second by Bill. All those in favor say aye.
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 Well, thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Now the review board is all March 14 and 28, I think.
Okay, I'll do the 28, Sam 28.
I can do the 14.
14 tends to be better than 15.
14. 14. Okay. And you can read plans. Mm-hmm. Is anybody? Okay.
You said, Eric, you're doing the 14th?
Sure.
And I'll do it. And then 28th is Sam and somebody else. We can get somebody else.
I mean, where are we at? Who do you need?
The 28th.
On the 28th.
I could do it. Are we doing it weekly now still?
Bi-weekly. No.
Every other week.
And then all the other days.
Huh?
I sort of the 28th.
All the off weeks. So we're all scheduling. So we're going to make appointments every 2 weeks.
So you have to sign up because Bill signed up with Sam.
I'll be on
call.
On call.
We need that she'll be on call.
Okay.
Email me.
Great. And so we adjourn. Thank you very much. I'm in there.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jerry. I'm going to shut it off now.
Well, I'm glad we had that discussion about.